swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field, it's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires, swing and a miss, strike three, it's over!
The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 119. If you're listening on drop day, it is game one of the Sox Diamondback series, and it's August 23rd. This is the official podcast of Ahmed Khan's Headphones, also known as the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. Shout out Backyard Baseball for making a triumphant return that went viral on social media, and rightfully so, because those games were freaking sick. But very excited for that. Also excited for the Sox Diamondback series. Before we get into it, hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening. Subscribe, 5 stars. Always appreciated when you guys rate and subscribe. It helps us out a ton. Whether you're on the podcast platforms or on YouTube, you can hit the thumbs up on the videos. If you're on YouTube, we're on the WEI page there. But if you found us on YouTube, make sure to go to a podcast platform and subscribe, because again, it really just helps us out so much when you guys do that. But also, we are on the socials, Play Tessie, at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. Here once again with Sammy and Pat, with Joe producing, and we're here to preview the Sox Diamondback series. It's a biggie. We talk about this gauntlet that the Sox are in the middle of. It's been talking about it ad nauseum, but they're 7 games in of the 10-game stretch. They're 4-3. They have the chance to meet the goal of 6-4 by just winning the series. They could exceed it. Sweeping the Diamondbacks would be really difficult. We'll talk about why coming up in a sec, but. Yeah, I mean, this is a really pivotal point in the Red Sox season here. As we're recording here, we are TBD on the outcome of the Royals game. Looks like the Twins are going to win. But yeah, regardless of the outcomes of those games, the goal here basically is be within sniffing distance of a wild card spot, preferably with the Royals, preferably be sniffing distance of the Royals by the end of this gauntlet, because right when the Sox schedule eases up a little bit, the Royals schedule gets a whole lot harder. And in fact, the Royals schedule gets harder right away. Their schedule is harder now. So the Sox have to play the Diamondbacks, but the Royals are getting the Phillies this weekend. So hopefully the Royals go on a little bit of a skid. They've had somewhat of an easier schedule lately. For the next 20 or so games, a lot harder. This is going to be the Sox time to strike. You got it, with the goal being, in my opinion, get to at least even for a playoff spot. You'll have maybe 2, maybe 3 weeks left in the regular season, and you'll leave your season up to those 3 weeks. That's got to be the goal.
I like that sniffing distance. What do you think the Royals smell like?
I bet they're like, it's like a king. So they're probably wearing like the felt vest thing that kings wear. And I bet they're very sweaty underneath that. So I bet they smell like BO.
I bet you the Pasquatch smells like butt cheeks.
Oh, I thought you guys were going to go like a barbecue route, because that's what they're known for. Like, they're slathered, and like Red Sox just follow the smell of barbecue, and then that'll lead you to the Royals, which will lead you to the playoffs. It's baseball's really simple if you think about it that way.
Very simple, man. This is all. Yeah, you got the Royals, you got the Diamondbacks. Everyone's got their own scent. What does a Diamondback smell like?
A Diamondback smells like sand.
What does sand smell like?
Smells like sand. Sand smell.
No, they smell like a dry heat.
Dry heat. Producer Joe, tiebreaker right there. Dry heat, D-backs.
I don't think sand has a smell. I think you smell the shit that's in the sand.
What? I ever heard a scientist say that there's more stars in the sky than sand in the earth? My brain has trouble conceptualizing how many stars that is.
I think for the first time in quite some time, I think I'm with Gordo. I don't think sand has a smell.
Anyway, baseball?
On to bigger and better things.
Yeah.
You want a quick little preview of what we're dealing with this weekend with the Diamondbacks?
Dun, 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 dun. That's your intro.
Okay. Diamondbacks. As of right now, 71-56, though they're losing to the Marlins as we're recording. They won the first 2 games of the series, so they've won the series regardless. They are 13-5, maybe soon to be 13-6. In August, you can check the score of that game. When this drops, that game will be done. Pitching matchups. Red Sox pitchers are announced. Diamondbacks pitchers, as we're recording this, are not, but I see no reason to believe that these are going to be wrong. First game is going to be Zach Gallen versus Brian Bayo. You know the name Zach Gallen, great pitcher, but got hurt. Came off the IL in July, and in his 9 starts since coming off the IL, he's got a 5.24 ERA. So we'll see there. Second game, Merrill Kelly versus Cutter Crawford. You certainly know the name Merrill Kelly, too. Pitched well in the postseason for them last year. Took him deep. He's made a name for himself. He also came off a long IL stint. He went on the IL in April. He came off recently. He's made 2 starts since. 5 innings, 2 earned runs versus the Phillies. And 5 innings, 6 earned runs versus the Rays. So we will see what Merrill Kelly has. It'll be his 3rd start coming off a long IL stint. Third game, Brandon Pfaadt. Brandon Pfaadt, 4.08 ERA for the year. He's had a pretty good year, and he struck out 11 batters 2 starts ago, but he has allowed 4 earned runs and back-to-back starts, and those starts were against the Rockies and the Marlins. So, and all of those pitchers are right-handed pitchers. So name-wise, 3 legitimate dudes, legitimate studs, but reason to believe the Red Sox could do some damage off of these guys in this series. Hitters to watch here. No Ketel Marte. He's got 30 bombs and he's an MVP candidate, but a recent IL stint, so he will not be eligible to come off, and nor would he be able to come off. He is hurt. And no Christian Walker, who was having a really good season before sustaining an injury just before the trade deadline. It did allow them to go out and get Josh Bell, but we'll go through some of their guys who have been playing well. People don't realize how good Jock Peterson has been this year. He has 20 home runs and a 958 OPS. He's basically like a quote-unquote platoon, but it's the type of platoon that Willier Abreu is, where he plays most games because he's a lefty hitting off of the righties. What he's doing is crazy. Basically, what he's doing is like the absolute ceiling offensively of what we would want to see Willier do. Maybe Willier, hopefully in the future, could hit some left-handed pitching, but if he's hitting 950 with a 958 OPS, going to have 25 to 30 bombs during the year, I think we'd all be thrilled with that.
Hey, who's a better DH, Jock Peterson or Yoshida?
Like, for the year?
Yep.
For the year, it's Jock.
Okay, who do you want next year?
Yoshida.
Yeah. This is a tough one. All right, anyway, continue. Sorry, I had to interject.
Here's one for you guys. Corbin Carroll. I feel like it was pretty well documented how much he was struggling. In his first 87 games this year, he had 2 home runs and a 608 OPS.
Wow.
In his last 36 games, he has 12 homers and a 962 OPS.
Oh my God. Yeah, pass on that. Can we ask him to go back to the first half version?
That would be nice. He's not stealing a ton of bases this year, but he can move. He's just an all-around stud. I'm going to read that again.
5'8", right? Like 5'8"? He's tiny.
Yeah, he's not tall.
For a major league baseball player, tiny. I mean, yeah.
Let me read this stat off again because it's just that crazy. First 87 games, 2 home runs. Last 36 games, he has 12 homers. Jeez. That's insane. 608 OPS in his first 87 games. 962 OPS in his last 36 games. He's been crazy. Another guy on like flaming hot, Jake McCarthy. He has a 1029 OPS in his last 25 games. Guy's absolutely tearing the cover off the ball. He's turned into a really good player.
If you're listening to this podcast, if you're a listener listening right now, and you know someone named Jake McCarthy, shoot us a DM and let us know. Because I feel like 90% of people who are from New England have met a person named Jake McCarthy.
I actually have not, but I feel weird saying that.
I have. I think my sister had a friend named Jake McCarthy or something.
It's got to be. I mean, there's a Jake McCarthy in every school system, I feel like. He's a common name. But outside of that, they've got Lourdes Gurriel, Eugenio Suarez, Josh Bell. They're all playing well. Nothing crazy. All OPS is around 800, some a little bit higher. But this is a lineup that I think is a little bit deeper than people give him credit for. And this team has been just flaming hot since pretty much the All-Star break. But you're going from playing the hottest team in the American League and the Astros to the hottest game or to the hottest team in the National League with the Diamondbacks. So it's not going to be an easy series. Pitching matchups wise, I think there's some room to hit them based off of, even though you're facing some tough names, the guys you're missing, you're not facing Eduardo Rodriguez and you're not facing Jordan Montgomery. And name wise, I think you would say, oh, the guys they're facing are better, but Erod and Montgomery are both lefties. All three of the guys the Red Sox are going to face are righties. So that's not for nothing. It's not for nothing. Joe, I want to get you in here. I want to get a score update on the series, see where we're at. I know I got it wrong again. I get it wrong every single week.
Who got it right? That's pretty much straight as is. You were the only one to get it wrong. Myself, Sammy, and Pat correctly predicted the Sox winning 2-3. Credit to Pat for correctly predicting the sequence of loss, win, win. Doesn't get him any extra points, though, in a three-game series. So the standings remain with Sammy in the lead. He's got 14. Pat, right behind him in second with 11. Me in third, now at double digits with 10. And Gordo still in the basement with 7.
I'm surprised I've gotten it right 7 times, to be honest with you. It feels like 0. Sammy, you're muted.
Sorry, it is absolutely pouring where I am, so I keep muting my mic so it doesn't come in. I don't know if it's raining where you are, Gordo. We're like 20 minutes away, but it just started pounding. It just goes to show how much of a crapshoot these predictions are, because Gordo, obviously a ball knower, but just...
Oh, yeah.
The prediction games is not your wheelhouse this year, at least. We'll see. Maybe next year.
But yeah, next year the tides are going to even out, and I'm just going to blow. I'm going to go like 85% predictions next year. Just wait.
Yeah, I know I'm trying this year. That's why you're not even trying. Next year, just wait. Want me to go first?
Yeah, please.
Red Sox sweep,
dude. Fuck, dude.
I'm in the moment. I feel really good about the way this team is trending. I fully am aware of that. I'm self-aware, but I'm going with the vibe. I think they're going to sweep. Day off. Bullpen's going to be rested. The bullpen looked good 2 games in a row. It feels like it's been forever since we said the bullpen looks good. So it did. And 3 righties. Zach Gallen not pitching his best lately. Hulk looking a little bit better. I don't know. I feel really good about this. I'm saying Red Sox sweep. And that will end the gauntlet, and then the schedule gets easy. And boys, we're going to have some fun down the stretch. But yeah, that's my prediction. Red Sox sweep.
Pat, you want to follow? Because I assume you're matching that.
You know how hard it is to make up ground on somebody who makes the same picks as you every single week?
Switch it up. Play the game, man.
No, I'm going.
You go first next time. Next time you go first.
Yeah. But no, I am going sweep. I think the recent injuries to Gallen and Kelly... Actually, even healthy, I like the Red Sox pretty much against any non-left-hander in the league right now, just how they're hitting. But I think if you factor in the recent struggles between those two guys, how the lineup's been hitting, I think those first 2 games I feel the most confident in. Brandon Pfaadt is an interesting guy. Had a really good postseason last year, putting together a really fine season this year, just over 4 ERA. But he's going against Bayo, who... has made me eat the garbage because he's been pitching fantastic. So I'm with Sammy. I think you factor in the bullpen rest, how their guys line up, how Bayo's been pitching, how the offense has been rolling. I'm going sweep.
Cook.
I'm going to take 2 out of 3 here.
For who?
Which for the Red Sox to win 2 out of 3. And you guys should be upset at me for doing it, because I feel like every time I pick the Sox to win a series, they lose the series. But maybe me picking 2 out of 3 will actually force the sweep, because you guys tend to get a lot of series right. I can't quite figure out the order, because like I like all of these games. I feel like above 50% for the Red Sox in all of them. That said, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to win all of them. If I had to pick a game that I think they'll lose, I guess I would go with Sunday, just because strikeout pitchers like Brandon Pfaadt can strike a guy out. Those guys have tended to do better against the Red Sox, and maybe like they use the bullpen up in the first couple of games and don't have as many arms for the third. I don't know. Maybe they're trying to save guys for the doubleheader Monday. That might be a good line of thinking. So I'll go win-win loss, but I could see a sweep. I could also see, like, every time we feel good about the direction of the Red Sox, it feels like they shoot us right in the face with a water gun and tell us, like, hey, no, not yet. So it could be textbook time for the Red Sox to, like, make us eat our words, but I'm feeling good about it. Matchups-wise, direction-wise, I think the Sox can do it. I know the Diamondbacks are hot. I think they can take 2 out of 3.
It's not, yeah. I don't think it's that crazy, Gordo, to predict 2 out of 3, because that's where I'm going. I think 2 out of 3 as well. But like you guys, I'm feeling really, really good about them going into the series, heading home against a team. I know they're a West Coast team, and I know they're in Miami right now, but still, that West Coast adjustment still a little dicey. But if I did have to pick a game to lose, I think they do lose the Friday one. I think just something about that lineup, like Lourdes Gurriel, I feel like he's got like one big hit in him, and I feel like that's going to happen on Friday. But then Saturday, Sunday, they should be totally fine. So I'll go loss, win, win on my sequence.
Dicey. Yeah, they've also been on the road for a bit. They played the Rays. Now they're in Miami. So they've been in Florida for a bit. Now they're coming to Boston. So they're probably like, I want to go home. I want to go back to Arizona. But no, you got to face the Red Sox. And you got to chill in Boston for one day. And it's probably, I don't know, what do you do in a visiting town? Just go get dinner, and because you're not going out and partying. I don't know. I hope they're bored. I hope we get bad weather on Thursday and the Diamondbacks are bored on Thursday.
It's true, because the Sox guys are all going to want to see their families after a road trip. First day back, day off. Oh, yeah. It's the first day off in a little bit. Spend it with the family. Diamondbacks, it's like, yeah, what are you going to do?
Gordo, are you not getting crazy thunder outside of your apartment? We live 2 seconds from each other.
You know, because I'm not on the top floor of my building, it's like sometimes it'll be raining really hard and I just like won't even hear it.
Dang, my whole building just shook. I muted my mic. It's some pretty crazy thunder here. But that just goes to show you how hot the Red Sox are. They're literally creating thunder in Boston, a direct connection. And that's why I'm picking a sweep.
That's insane, man. Mm-hmm. But okay. I mean, we're all like 2 2-out-of-3s and 2 sweeps. And this is going up against the hottest team in the National League. So that is not insignificant right there. That's a positive group.
Feels like every time some juggernaut team, every time the Red Sox run into some juggernaut, Phillies, Yankees, Astros just now, this is the series the season's going to end. The Astros, you can't beat them. 1 2-out-of-3. I feel like they always beat these teams, knock on wood. But, you know, so bring it on, snakes. What are you, 1 inch tall, snake? Psh, grow
up. If they win this series, oh, I will feel so good. Even if they're like three and a half out or whatever it would be at the end of the series, even if the Royals match them, I would feel so good if they are 3.5 out going into the stretch of schedule that the Red Sox have and the Royals have. I'll pull them up while we do crystal bombs so I can read it off after.
Right. Blue Jays next, I'm pretty sure.
Five with the Blue Jays next.
Oh my God. Take 2 out of 3 at least. Pat really likes it.
Oh God.
Five.
Five.
Are they gonna start? They're gonna start in the middle of one of those games, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the second game.
So 4.5 games, really. But all right.
Pat, what are we on to? I'll pull up the schedules after we do our next segment, which would be
I'm kidding. Crystal bomb. Bomb it. All right. Joe, score update, por favor.
Gladly, because actually, no, not gladly for me and Pat, because we both got ours wrong. Shit. Roman Gonzalez only played in one game, and I thought he would have gotten a pinch hitter, which clearly he didn't. Pat went with Connor Wong and struck out on that pick. But very first pitch, Sammy got his point, himself, building his lead, but not that far
right away
because Tristan Casas was able to respond with his first crystal bomb blast in a while. So official score update, Sammy still leads it with 19, Gordo behind him with 18, Pat in third with 8, me in the basement with 5.
That's insane. Read those numbers off again. That is some separation.
Yeah, 19, Sammy and I are 18, battling. 8, and 5.
I was in last place for the first like 2 months of the season too. Keep in mind,
he's on a heater. He is on the heater of all heaters. He does not miss the crystal bomb picks lately.
I predicted the exact home run. I said he's going to hit a little cheap one into the Crawford boxes early. It's literally the first pitch.
It's crazy.
I wish I was a gambler. Maybe I'd win some money, but I'm just not into it.
All right.
Get too angry.
Thick Willie.
Yeah. Okay. You're getting yours right off the bat there. Okay.
I'm getting it out there. Three righties back home at Fenway. He's been crushing the ball without any home run results. He's due. I was a series off of Casas for the same reason. So knowing my luck, Williard does not hit a home run this series. And then Gordo takes him for the five games with Toronto and he hits like five. So either way, thick Willie.
Yeah, Willie had that home run against Texas. But other than that, yeah, hasn't hit too many. You're right.
Yeah.
I'll go next. I'll take Casas. He had a 900-foot home run that got stopped short by the upper deck in Houston. LOL. I think he's going to stay hot in Boston. I'm feeling like a straightaway center field shot that it's kind of at the angle of the camera. We're not going to know it right away, but it's going to go way deep in the seats. So we'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe we didn't immediately realize that was a home run. It's going to be one of those. So give me Casas.
Let Joe go. I'm torn between two guys and I'm hoping he takes one. But last time I said this, he took like,
yeah, I took Rome. Yeah, I took Romy. I'm pretty sure it was like O'Neill and Casas, and I'm like, Romy Gonzalez. No, I'm not going to go crazy out to left field. I'm going to take a guy who I think his defense is going to translate now to his offense. And I'm going to take Sedan here. I feel like Sedan is due to launch one. And I think it's going to be a nice little monster shot during this series. So I'll go with Sedan here, or as Pat likes to say, Sedan.
God, this is tough because I was between Massa and Duran, and then you just mentioned O'Neill, who even though they're facing three righties, it's still tempting. He just had an off day.
So nice to have options. I know.
But the way this team was when everyone was hurt, like for a little while there, it was basically like you had to go with a rotation of like three guys, or you had to go like off the beaten path and like try to like nail it I remember I had a Dom Smith pick once, we were picking like Sedan, and like he has homers, but it's like it's different picking Sedan versus picking like Devers or Casas. Like I'm just stalling because I really don't know who I want to pick. I think I'm going to go with...
Who can you not pick?
I can't pick Casas, and I think Devers was the one before that.
That is right.
Ugh, that's so annoying.
I would suggest you go Duran. He's on a heater.
That's where I'm leaning. Because the issue is both of them are red hot.
Sammy, you're trying to help the guy that's behind you in the standings? Only by
one. Yeah, you know, it's a friendly competition.
Yeah. Oh, but he could be double-crossing me.
Gordo, you know who you should pick, actually? I mean, Danny Jansen's been really good lately. What if a lefty reliever comes in?
It's true.
Nah, don't pick Jansen. In the three righties. I would just take Duran.
I could pick Mickey Gasper.
Big Gas?
Who do you think I take that?
Joe unironically picked David Hamilton and it worked. So
no, I said Gordo should take Michael Fulmer.
Ooh, he could hit a he could be playing like a video game and hit a home run in the game, and that counts.
He might get a sneak peek at backyard baseball.
He's gonna be reverse bowling with Chris Murphy.
Oh yeah.
All right. I think I've made my decision. I'm gonna go with Jaron Duran. I have no reasoning for why I'm taking him over Massa. I think maybe the only thing is that he hits first and Massa hits sixth, so maybe he'll have a couple extra at bats. Both of them hitting the ball real well. Both of them hit home runs in the Astros series. So, damn, man, I'll go Jaron Duran. Maybe Massa will get my pick in the five-game series. We'll have to see those pitching matchups. That could be interesting. But, yeah, I'll go Duran. Sammy, what do you got for us?
If you're an Astros fan and you're listening, don't worry. There's no more losing for you. Only winning here. Guys being dudes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. A new one. This is exciting. We haven't done Diamondbacks yet, so you got to give me a player who played for both the Boston Pilgrims / Red Sox and the Arizona Diamondbacks, an expansion team. Who would like to go first?
Pat, you got it.
I will go because I am very proud of this one. Also, because I think he is forgotten. So we all know 2013, great. 2013 was great. 2014 to 15 kind of sucked. 2016 was the first real push to win the division, get back to the playoffs, new core. Things were looking on the up and up. There was a trade deadline acquisition in 2016 that I am not kidding actually played a pivotal role in securing the division. None other than relief pitcher Brad Ziegler.
That trade saved our lives.
Brad Ziegler? Like, I remember him being so good, like such a good acquisition. He pitched in 33 games after the deadline for the Sox, which is crazy after the deadline. 1.52 ERA.
That's insane. Did he pitch ever again after that? Did he call it quits after that?
No, he signed a 1-year deal in Miami with a 2-year deal in Miami. 4.79 ERA wasn't good. The next year, his last year in the big leagues, first half of the year, he was with Miami. Listen to this. 53 games before the deadline. 3.98.
Oh, wow.
After the deadline, he went back home to Arizona. 29 games in a 3.74. He, as a 38-year-old reliever, led the MLB in appearances by reliever. 82 outings. He pitched in over half the games, and he had a 3.91 as a 38-year-old.
How many innings total? Absurd.
He threw 73 and two-thirds, because you got to remember this is before the three.
Yeah. He pitched in half the games or over half the games.
That is absurd.
I wonder if anyone has ever pitched in over half the games of the season but not thrown 75 innings.
And also, that funky delivery, too.
Yes.
Like the other thing for reference here, just because I had it up, Cooper Criswell has made, I mean, I don't have the number, the exact number. I know today he pitched in his 20th game, and I think all but like five or six of those were starts. He just threw his like 78th inning today, and he's like a halftime starter. Brad Ziegler did that 82 games. That's insane. That's quick insane.
In and out Ziegler. That's what they call him. All right, love that one. I had a feeling we were going to get a Ziegler mention on here, and he had, it is. He had that weird kind of like not submarine, not sidearm, a little bit not. So if this is three quarter, he was kind of like one quarter.
Yeah, quarter. It's a one quarter delivery.
Only threw like 87 mile an hour fastballs. He was all about the like, not in a derogatory way, like a junk baller.
Yeah.
All right, Gordo, who you got?
So I've got a guy who I forget if I've asked this. What are we? 100. This is episode 119. This has to have come up at some point. I've got the guy who was the first Red Sox player after Manny Ramirez to wear the number 24.
Sammy. It's his nickname. Takashi Saito.
Is that right? Is that his nickname?
Yeah, I brought him up like 25 episodes ago,
and
I looked on his page and his nickname was Sammy, and I was like, what? Takashi Saito? But yeah, that's honestly what I know him as, the guy to wear 24 after Manny.
So, okay, this guy, he closed games for the Dodgers before getting to Boston. So he was a rookie in 06, a 36-year-old rookie, I might add, in 06, saved 24 games. Then in 07 was an all-star, saved 39 games with a 1.4 ERA. Then saved 18 games the following year with a 2.49 ERA. Comes to Boston. I'm ecstatic about it because, like, oh my God, like, I've heard of this guy. He's a closer. Like, I'm still a pretty young fan at the time, 09. Like, I'm young in middle school. Yeah. And, like, it's like, oh man, like, Sox got another closer for this team setting up Papelbon. Like, oh, this will be great. And then he takes 24. And to me, like, I worshipped the ground that Manny Ramirez walked on. I hated Jason Bay for it, and I just couldn't get behind at that time Takashi Saito wearing, as you can see on the screen here, the number 24. But he had a 2.43 ERA with the Red Sox in 56 games. People don't really talk about this guy and that he was good for the Red Sox, but yeah, had a solid career, a 2.34 ERA. The one thing I wanted to bring up with this, and by the way, he was really good. He was good into his 40s, but
he had the Dice K wind up where he would put his hands over his head, wait, and then throw.
Here's my question for you guys. Do you think that they're quiet retiring number 24? I'm going to read you off where the number 24 has gone since Manny. So hold on. Sorry, I had it up, but then when I reset my computer,
it's just went. Two but guys, got right?
David, so, okay. Yeah, the last one I remember is
Manny Ramirez, Takashi Saito took it the very next year, and you got to keep in mind things ended not well with Manny. After Saito in 09, it was not worn again until, as you guys just said, David Price in 2016. He wore it for 3 years before switching to number 10. So his last year with the number was 2018. Nobody has worn the number since. And I'm not saying that they're retiring it for Manny, but Dwight Evans also wore that number, was a Hall of Fame snub. I don't know if maybe they're just like giving up hope. I don't know if Dwight Evans even has a path to the Hall of Fame, but is there a chance maybe that they're quiet retiring that number as they have with Roger Clemens' 21, which nobody has worn since? And same thing with Wakefield's 49 and Veritek's 33, although Veritek wears his 33 now. So that's a little bit different, but no one has worn 49. No one has worn 21. And now it's been a little bit, 2018, that's a little while ago, man. 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. 6 years and a lot of players coming through, and none of them have taken 24, or were they told they can't?
You might be onto something. Meanwhile, everybody gets Nomar's number 5.
Oh, everybody gets it.
Zhu Weilin, you get number 5. Like, but no, you might be onto something. My first thought when you said that was, no, definitely not, because like Roger Clemens, number 21, nobody's worn it. But that's a good point. Nobody's worn it in 6 years. That is like an odd amount of time. And it was a weird ending with Manny. Yeah, I could see it. You could see them maybe bringing him back. The only thing that brings me pause is that if they were going to retire Manny's number, I feel like they would have done it this year on the 20-year anniversary of 2004. But who knows? Maybe they do it in 27, like the 20-year anniversary of him playing for the Red Sox. I don't know.
My thought is it's for Dwight Evans, not even for Manny. And as much as I would want it to be for Manny, because he's my favorite player ever, but...
Well, then you just do the Brock Holt thing. Like, Brock Holt had 26. Wade Boggs got inducted into the Hall of Fame. Brock Holt just changed to number 12.
Yeah. Pat, you got a nugget?
I have a great nugget.
Oof.
Do you want to hear some of the names that have worn the number 5 post-Nomar?
Can I try to name it?
Can you tell me the number? Like, how many of them there are?
There are 1, 2, 3, 4... 5, 6, 7, 8. There are 10 guys to wear number 5.
Let's play a game. Let's guess.
Okay. I'll give you the year. You guess the player. You each get a guess. 2009.
Oof. John McDonald.
Okay. Gordo.
09. God, I don't know. I could tell you other ones.
Joe, any guess?
I got nothing.
Let's just try to name as many as we can.
Okay. None other than the Woonsocket Rocket, Rocco Baldelli.
Oh, I forgot.
He's literally on my television right now. Managing
the free for all. Name all right. Number 5.
Let's alternate.
Chris Woodward.
No.
Dang it. Vaughn Grissom.
Yes.
Alan Craig.
Yes.
Zhu Weilin.
Yes.
Kike Hernandez.
Yes.
Are we at 6 or 7?
You are at 1, 2, 3.
I've got another.
4, 5. You're 5. You have 5 left.
Yeah.
Sorry, Woodward. 4 left because I gave you Rocco.
It's Rocco,
Chris Woodward was 3, not 5.
I've got another if you guys don't
have. Oh, Ian Kinsler.
Good
one. Yeah. Who you got, Gordo?
Johnny Gomes.
Yes. Right. I can't think of any more.
2 more.
Wasn't there one last year after Kike?
No.
No? Okay.
You're missing 2020 and 2012.
Oh, Kevin Pillar?
Years in Red Sox history.
No, Pillar was 15.
No, Pillar. Oh.
Pillar.
Oh, Pillar. Yeah. Kevin Pillar. Yeah, Kevin Pillar. Yes.
Oh. Pillar. Now Jesus. You are just missing 2012.
What position?
Infield.
Infield. So it was a utility guy.
Not Mike Avila's.
Was it James Loney?
Oh, same trade.
Yes.
Oh, God. Punto. Nick Punto. Yeah,
no.
That's such a good number. They're just giving it to everyone. Five, a single digit number, and it's a multiple of five. It's five itself. That's like the most desirable single digit number, and they're just giving it away. I mean, Vaughn Grissom, that's fine. He's like a guy who's supposed to be very good eventually, but like Zhu Wei Lin, friggin' Nick Punto. Nick Punto, who swung like a Swiss cheese bat, couldn't get. Oh, God, the Angels are not doing us any favors right now. It's 3-0.
All right. Sammy, yeah, who's your guy?
MJ Melendez hit a home run. Okay. All right. So this guy's more known for his time with the White Sox. Let me get back to this. This is a weird one. So this guy, first of all, breaks into the league with Arizona, only plays, 138 games total in 2 years, 14 home runs, nothing impressive, 85 OPS plus. I want you guys to try to guess who I'm thinking of, because then in 2008, this guy popped off. He had 36 home runs, 100 RBIs, and 149 OPS plus. Goes on to continue being productive, an all-star again for the White Sox in 2011, leads the league with 23 hit by pitches, another 24 home runs, 77 RBIs, 122 OPS plus. This guy's just crushing it. Goes to the Padres, continues to crush it. And then in 2014, he goes to the Padres. He's still on the Padres, excuse me. He starts slowing down, and the Red Sox say, hey, we want to invite you to spring training. You guys know who I'm talking about?
Is it Carlos Quentin? Yes.
Carlos Quentin, yep. Never played a regular season game for the Red Sox, but he played for them in spring training, and he
Does this count?
Yeah, I figured it would count because he suited up for the Red Sox. He just played in spring training, but he was not impressive. They released him right at the end of spring training. It was one of those things like, it was the last season of his career, but you guys know how old he was?
Sounds like he wasn't that old.
31.
Whoa.
31 years old. Red Sox released him. Nobody picked him up. That was it. Carlos Quentin. So I know he never played in a regular season game, but I thought this would be an interesting one. He played for widely known for his time with the White Sox, but he started with the Diamondbacks and he technically ended with the Red Sox, though he never made the regular season roster. Carlos Quentin, kind of a flash in the pan, early 2000s guy. Cool batting stance, too, where he'd like bounce up and down. Good
ball
player.
Definition of flash in the pan. I've got a Carlos Quentin jersey card somewhere.
Really?
Yeah.
His number, I don't. I can't name his number. 36?
30. No, I was going to say 31, but he's told me he was 31 years old. That's why.
No, he was number 20. I don't know why I thought it was 36. But yeah, he's a interesting guy. He's only 41 years old now. You would think like Carlos Quentin, oh man, he's probably like older than that. No.
Dude, he's 3 years younger than Rich Hill.
And a guy the Red Sox just signed. Awesome. But anyway, that's the end of that segment. So who do you have? Ziegler. Who do you have, Gordo?
Saito.
Ziegler, Saito, Quentin. Three Hall of Famers.
Yep. Any enough said from you guys before we get on out of here?
I got a fun one.
You go.
You go, Sam.
Oh, okay. Guys, you go. Come on.
No, you go. No, you hang up.
You hang up first.
No, you hang up.
Oh, you guys are so silly. Okay. Have you guys ever been in like a any sort of competition, like a school competition, athletic competition, anything, and you finish not first, not second, not even third, not top five, but 13th? You guys ever finished 13th?
Specifically 13th, I can't tell you.
Well, let me tell you, the Diamondback, specifically the Eastern Diamondback rattlesnake, is only the 13th most venomous snake in the world. So if you're a Red Sox fan, you're like, oh, the snakes, snake noises, only the 13th most venomous. So I wouldn't stress it too much. We're not facing the Arizona Black Mambas. This is a measly little Diamondback. So get out a little bucket, put it on the snakes, and call animal control.
Here's the issue, though, Sammy. They're the 13th most venomous snake, and I get it. 13th is 13th, but like, we're just footwear.
You ever seen a footwear die of venom? Look at that. You afraid of that? You know what would happen if you put a sock over the head of a rattlesnake?
I was going to say you could suffocate it.
Useless. It would be absolutely useless. I think a sock would beat a rattlesnake in a fight, actually. Or sorry, a diamondback. Is a diamondback a rattlesnake?
I couldn't tell.
I think it is. I think a diamondback is a type of rattlesnake.
Yes, it's a specific type of rattlesnake.
Right. So if you took a sock and put it over a rattlesnake, the rattlesnake, I don't know if you guys know this, they have evolved. They don't have arms or legs, so it wouldn't be able to get out. It would suffocate and it would die and it's venom. Snakes, like prehistoric era, they had like legs and they swam in the water and then they came on the land and they adapted. Yeah.
Isn't that just like a lizard?
So did whales. Whales used to have legs.
What?
Oh, dude, let me show you. This is one of my weird interests, is like dinosaurs and like prehistoric stuff, like Cambrian period stuff. I'll show you some prehistoric whales. These still look kind of like dogs almost, like millions of years ago. But anyway, rattlesnakes, not scary if you have a big red sock on you.
It's true.
So don't worry about it.
You could put like a clown face on the sock and you're just going to make the snake look like a clown.
Yeah. And that's degrading to the snake, and then it's going to be embarrassed. And
it's going to be degraded while it dies.
Yeah, that's a prehistoric whale right there. Whoa. That's what whales turn into. That's a ichthyostega below it, but above it is, I don't know which kind of whale that is, but it, those became like blue whales.
That is fascinating. Pat, you're never going to be able to follow this up.
No, I'm not.
I don't think that was an ichthyostega. I think I got that wrong. I don't know.
I told you that since June 15th, Javi Baez is slugging .260 and has a .514 OPS.
Oh, man, I feel bad for him.
You would believe me, right?
Yeah.
Well, I lied. It's Alex Verdugo.
Oh, you dog.
Bum ass. This guy sucks. Bum ass. That's so bad. On the season, Alex Verdugo is hitting .229 with an OBP of .290, a slug of .356, and an OPS of .647.
Well, it doesn't really matter, though. He's locked into a long-term contract. He's making a lot of money. It's not like this is a contract year for him.
No. Yeah, he was given a very lucrative six-figure contract.
I just zingered you, Pat. It is a contract year for Verdugo, and he's playing like crap, and his attitude is terrible as usual. We couldn't feel worse for Verdugo. I really do feel bad for
him. And
Javi
the worst
Baez,
excuse of being allergic to batting gloves and the metal of a tattoo needle.
What the fuck, dude? He's allergic to batting gloves? Bro, you're allergic to batting.
I was going to say, I think he's more allergic to hitting a baseball than he is batting gloves.
Actually, Pat, he has pretty good contact numbers, so I wouldn't say that.
Pat, that was an all-time delivery of Enough Said right there. That was fantastic.
Yeah, you like that? I had so to follow good. Up the whale with arms.
Yeah. That's good. Do you think who would win in a fight, a prehistoric unevolved whale or Alex Verdugo?
Are they in water or on land?
They're in a swamp, so it's shallow water. It's moist.
Oh, whale for sure. I feel pretty good about that.
I don't know. Does the skin of whales have any commonalities with the leather used in batting gloves?
I would say they're not allergic. Oh, but is he allergic to the whale is what you're saying? Mm-hmm. Oh. I think if he loses, he would say he is.
Right. And this is why people tune in. They want to know who would win in a fight, Alex Verdugo or a prehistoric unevolved whale if the setting were a swamp.
Yeah.
All right. I'll give you guys mine. I definitely don't have the delivery of Pat's, but it's an interesting one because I tweeted about this earlier today because I stumbled on a picture of what the team store used to look like before they inexplicably stopped selling all of the jerseys of all of the different players on the team. Like throughout all of our lives until recently, and I honestly can't tell you when it was. It has to be pretty recent that they stopped doing this, but they used to sell jerseys in the team store. They'd have an entire wall with every player jersey up there, like the t-shirts with the player name and number on it. And they would sell them for like 35, 40, 45. Like the price would go up every year. It'd be a pain in the ass. But you know, it was cool that if I wanted an obscure player jersey, I could get it. And in the picture here, like, I referenced Ryan Hannigan. He felt like the most obscure one up there. But, like, Blake Swihart's up there. Alan Craig's up there.
Hannigan.
Yeah, Ryan Hannigan, like, he was just always the backup catcher, was never, like, any hope for more. Like, he was just, he was going to be there for, like, a year, and it was going to be the backup catcher.
Rusne
Castillo was up there.
You know, but, what?
Like, they had everybody, and they don't anymore, and it sucks. And I had people in the comments saying, like, I wanted to say Don Rafaela jersey, and they didn't have it. It's like, you're the team store. Like, please, just, if you're going to have one thing, have all the jerseys.
This might be a little too deep. I might be overthinking this. I think when you have very few. Hold on. Did Nico Cavadas just hit a home run? No. Okay. I thought he did. When you have very few guys under contract and you're shipping out Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts unceremoniously, and you don't really have guys who are sticking around long term recently, maybe that was part of it. Maybe it'll come back now that they're locking down guys like Rafaela and stuff. And
I think that was part of it. I think it was.
Like, when you got a rotate, and you can, when you have those guys like Bogaerts and Price and JD who are locked up for a while, you can add those lesser guys like Hannigan or whatever. But yeah, that was a good reminder. You would walk into the team store and it would just be an array of numbers. You'd be like, oh, who do I want to get? I love all these players. I love all these admirable players who are very good, and the very wealthy team that I root for has locked them up under contract, because obviously you would want to keep very good players when you're very rich and it's easy for you to do. So whose jersey am I going to buy without worrying about them getting traded? So, yeah, maybe that's it.
Question for you guys. On this year's team, this might just be an easy answer. Who is, like, the most obscure player that you would have gone in there and bought their jersey? I feel like there's an easy answer.
But, like, an obscure player?
This year? I would have gotten a Thick Willie.
Dom Smith.
I was going to say Dom. Yeah, like, Dom. Imagine, like, going in there and getting a Dom jersey. Like, those things would have sold.
Those things would sell out like that.
Exactly. And, like, even after the DFA, everyone would have bought them.
Walk into the team store and you just get Dommed.
Oh, imagine. Imagine, you know, 5-6 years from now, Marcelo and Roman are two of the top three MVP candidates in the league. The Sox are 25 games over 500. You sit down and there's a young gentleman in front of you wearing a Koopa Loop jersey.
Exactly. Exactly, Pat. That's the spirit. Did you guys ever buy a weird one there?
Yeah, I bought Saltalamacchia, if that counts.
That counts.
Just because I like...
I don't know if I bought it there, but at one point I did have a Darnell McDonald jersey.
Oh, that's a good one.
I did get a Jason Bay Hanukkah present jersey. You probably hate that, Gordo.
I really do.
Big number 44. I thought Jason Bay's jersey was cool because 44 is such, like, a wide number, and then Bay is a tiny name. So I thought it was funny looking. Saltalamacchia was kind of the opposite. Giant name.
The thing that would piss me off, and this happened to me a couple of times, I'm trying to think of the other one, but I had a Benintendi jersey where before he changed his number, and it would always piss me off, like, because I get so excited about the young guys when they come up, and it's like, yeah, like, it's cool, it's like, whatever, but, like, at the same time, it's like, I want the one he's wearing now. So it's like,
dude, if I had a 64 Pedroia, if I had number 64 Dustin Pedroia, that's sick. What was Benny, 40?
Yep, nailed it.
Yeah, 40. And then, yeah, that's cool if you get those numbers. Jaren Duran also wore 40. I saw a guy with a 40 Duran shirt the other day. I think that's sick when you get that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like there's benefits and drawbacks. It's like, yeah, like, I was there first, and, like, this is proof. But at the same time, it's like,
go. Bogaerts, 72, Middlebrook, 64. I like those. You know what I don't like, though? Tanner Houck, they gave him 89, and he's just like, no, I'll keep it. Like,
yeah.
That's a bad number. 89.
Yeah, I agree. What did Middlebrooks change to? Oh, 16, right?
16. Yeah. It's a good number.
All right, we'll wrap it up there. It's a good spot to wrap. Episode 119 of Play Tessie. We appreciate you guys tuning in. But before you go about your day, remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. Subscribe, rate 5 stars. If you're on YouTube, if you discovered us on YouTube, you can hit the thumbs up on those videos. We are on the Play Tessie playlist of the WEEI channel. But if you did discover us on YouTube, remember, go find us on a podcast platform and subscribe. That way you get notifications when new episodes drop, and it helps us out a ton when you guys hit that subscription. So We always appreciate it when you guys do that. Also, can find us on the socials at PlayTessie on both Twitter and Instagram. Great content coming out on there all the time. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe in the back, it's Gordo. We got a big series here, fellas. This is the end of the gauntlet. Oh, I said I was going to read the schedule. I'll read the schedules real quick, and then we'll wrap right there.
Quick schedule. Quick schedule. Canceling the end of the show. Canceling quick schedule.
Red Sox have 5 with the Blue Jays, 3 with the Tigers, 3 with the Mets, 3 with the White Sox. Meanwhile, the Royals have 3 with the Phillies, 4 with the Guardians, 4 with the Astros, 3 with the Guardians, 3 with the Twins, 3 with the Yankees. Which is why, to loop it back in to the wrap here, this is the end of the gauntlet. This is the time where you got to make sure that you're at least treading water. Because with that schedule coming up, with those two schedules coming up, there is a huge opportunity for the Red Sox to make up a bunch of ground. And if you can enter that three and a half back, you could find yourself in a playoff spot within weeks. If it's 5.5, if they get swept in this Diamondback series and it's 5.5, then like you're going to be lucky to be tied with the playoff spot. And if somehow you make up ground and it's 2, 2.5, man, that road is inviting you to take over a playoff spot. So this is going to be this extended run here, this Diamondback series and the extended run of easier opponents while the Royals have harder opponents. This is going to be where the season is won and lost. Buckle up. But till then, you'll get us on a recap of the Diamondback series dropping on Monday. But till then, for Sammy, for Pat, for Joe in the back, it's Gordo here. Thanks for tuning in to PlayTessie episode 119. Peace.